if you take the, Foley work and the soundtrack out of a movie and just show, the film with just the dialogue, even a great movie, it completely falls emotionally flat, right? It's, if George Lucas had not hired John Williams to do the score for Star Wars, it would probably be a little remembered, B grade science fiction movie that hardly anybody would even, the music kind of glosses over some of the, kind of, tropey, pulpy shortcomings, of the script and, right?
Yes,
I mean, because the music is
sure.
just majestic. It's amazing.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Jeff Bonoff.
You have been working with Dolby Atmos and producing albums, not necessarily in Dolby Atmos, but,
No, I haven't. I haven't actually personally produced anything.
Yeah.
I did. So Maya and I released an album about a year ago called Labyrinth. And I have a friend who has a podcast on audio engineering, which is how I became aware of him. And then I contacted him and we've gotten together several times. And he's introduced me to a lot of Bay Area audio professionals as well. But he does Atmos mixing. So I actually, as an experiment, I hired him to do a mix of one of the songs from the album in Atmos as well. And so,
Did it change things a lot?
He did not do anything really radical, but it's definitely more immersive.
Okay.
But he didn't it doesn't sound like a different song or crazy different. It's, a slightly different mix with immersive quality. So things do sound, I think you even notice it more. It's like the first time I listened to it was like, yeah, that sounds good. And yeah, it's okay. And I mean, not okay in the terms of judging his work, but yeah, it's like, I guess it's different. Yeah. And then I went back to the stereo mix and then it was like, oh yeah.
There's the difference.
Now I really hear the difference.
Endless revolutions, ephemeral solutions. Everything is different, but we haven't changed. Drifting on the currents of everyday occurrence.
Very interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing more people experimenting with this on their singles, I guess. I don't know how many people are doing albums these days.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the major labels are reissuing, they're hiring people to do Atmos mixes of their back catalogs, because distributors like Apple Music and some others are really promoting it. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting to see where this goes. But getting back to your production and you producing albums for other people, I'm curious as to if you have any favorites and maybe like why those albums were a favorite. I don't want to make you choose from among your children.
I love them all.
Yes. But if there are reasons for loving a particular album, I'd love to hear about it.
Sure. I mean, yeah. And there are a lot. I mean, I do really, because I guess full disclosure, I'm not doing this full time. I have a day job. So I'm not making my living doing this. And what that does is partly it gives me the freedom to just, take on things that I feel I would enjoy doing and people I feel I would enjoy working with. And so every album I've done without exception, has been a lot of fun, and I've enjoyed the experience. And, you know, it's interesting, though, working with different people, because, you know, when you collaborate with people, everybody has their own style. And especially when, you know, because when I'm producing an album for somebody else, we're collaborating, but it's not an equal collaboration, right? I am still basically have been hired to make them happy.
Oh, sure. That's
ultimately what it's about. So I can't, I'm not going to, if I have an idea and we don't agree on that idea, or if they have an idea that I don't agree with, you know, I'm not going to go to the mat for my opinion in the way I would, you know, like when I'm working with Maya, sometimes we, you know, go to the mat with each other over, you know, certain details, whatever.
Sure.
All in a very friendly way, yeah, of course.
But, of course. You know,
but we do, it's a different relationship.
Yeah.
But so a lot of times, just like working with different clients, you know, different people have sort of different, levels of openness to experimenting. You know, I will try to find with each client sort of where I fit into the picture in terms of, you know, sort of aesthetic or artistic contribution. Obviously, the audio engineering part is, you know, fairly similar no matter what. You're right, recording a vocal is, you know, not radically different from person to person, or recording an acoustic guitar or whatever.
But someone may want more of your musical input depending on
what they're exactly doing.
Like, I know, for instance, for me, like, I'm a lone vocalist. So mm-hmm. If I was to work with you, I would need backing tracks. I mean, that's kind of what it would come right down to. So I mean,
right. So, for example, I've done a couple of albums with Seanan McGuire, yep, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And working with Seanan, you know, it was basically she, you know, her songwriting process is she writes a lyric. I'm assuming she writes a lyric first. I've never asked her what comes first. But then she has and she comes up with a melody. So those two things happen in whatever order. And so for the albums I've done with her, you know, our process would be she would come to the studio and we would take a few hours and she would just sing the songs that were going to be on the album a cappella. And then she would leave and it would be up to me then to, you know, first off, just figure out what the harmony is. What are the chords behind this? And it's funny sometimes, is it's not always as cut and dried and straightforward. And
oh, I imagine.
You know, as it might be. And sometimes I kind of struggle, go, what, mm-hmm, what chord progression is this going to be? So, and then I would build up a whole thing. And Seanan was like, pretty much completely, just give me something to sing to. And there were times when actually, you know, one of the challenges, and we kind of learned to watch this, you know, on later projects, but is, because she was just singing by herself, and I think just because we'd have like, you know, like 15 songs to get through, she would go through them like super, super fast. And it was like the tempos would be. And so I would have to kind of like then, as I was creating the music, so I'd have some sort of reference to how the vocals can sound, I would have to start chopping up phrases and stretching things just to make it kind of fit. And I was, you know, there's one song in particular on one of the albums where as I was doing it, I kind of created this melody out of her notes that was rhythmically very different than what she had sung, and it sounded kind of cool. And I sent her a demo of it and just said, what do you think? Is this okay with you? Can you, you know, when I finish this track, could you sing it like this? And she was like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. And you know, so that's one end of the spectrum. And then other people I work with, I know that I would never even propose something like that, because I just know that they're not comfortable with that level of, you know, as far as, you know, I'll name some albums that I'm very particularly proud of. There's an artist named Mary Kroll. I know, you know, Mary.
I know,
but
Mary,
she's
yeah,
a wonderful, wonderful, kind of jazzy singer and pianist and songwriter. Mm-hmm. And she writes She writes a lot of songs. She's really, she and her husband, Wes, are really, really into gaming. So she's done a lot of songs about gaming. So the first album I did with her and the third album were both very heavy on gaming songs. But the second album,
a topic
album
I know nothing about.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyone who's listened to this podcast at all knows that I am a gamer. Yeah. So it's no surprise.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm not. Uh-huh. At all, really.
Yep.
It's funny, as I was into video games a little bit, and when I got the job with eMagic and like spent my day, you know, learning the ins and outs of the software and you know, computers and whatnot, I just like, okay, I do not want to go home and then have to learn how to, what buttons to push to make something happen in this game.
Well, that makes sense. Like,
I'm going to read a book or watch a movie, sure, or something. So anyway, I've just never really been much of a gamer. But anyway, the point being, she did the second album that she did with me, is called Scattering Seeds on the Pomegranate Tour. Mm-hmm. And it's more about mythology and, you know, sort of that area, and not so much about gaming. And it's just, some of the songs are just heartbreakingly beautiful. Working with Mary is super, super open to like really deep collaboration. So
that's always nice.
There have been any number of times when, you know, she's come in and, you know, the song has like a certain rhythm or feel, and I'll say, like, there was a song on the first album called I Put My Low Stat. It's a, you know,
yes,
a gaming song.
I remember that one.
And, you know, and she played it and it sounded, you know, kind of similar to some of, you know, in terms of rhythms, kind of like some of her other songs. And I was thinking, well, what can we do to mix this up a little bit? So I kind of suggested we do this sort of kind of like kind of Zydeco funk kind of rhythm to it. And she was like, at first, I don't know if I can play that and whatnot. And I even like, you know, got an accordion sample and had her like play kind of a chord, you know, so give it kind of this Zydeco feel.
I put my low stat in constitution. Now I'm always sad. I usually go unconscious, which makes the cleric mad. My blood won't clot, got mummy rot. Eyesight's really bad.
You know, and it came out great and she really loved it, you know, but she's like really, you know, and there was another song on that album that, you know, I basically said, this needs to be a Queen song.
Yes. Okay.
And, you know, and so, and she was like, yeah, let's do it, you know, so, but anyhow, on Scattering Seeds, that album, like I said, just the songs are so beautiful and the lyrics are really poignant. And I just really felt like we were both kind of on top of our game for that album. And I just, you know, that's one of the albums I've worked on that I'm really particularly happy with.
I really appreciate you being here. Know anyone that you think would make a great guest for this podcast? Someone who works in sound on behalf of clients? Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear about them. Your recommendations are always super helpful. And now back to the show.
Was there a song on there that you remember in particular?
Oh, yeah. So there's one called Jazz in May.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yep.
Okay. And one of the things I love about it, it's got a really interesting mix of instruments. It's a beautiful, beautiful, heartbreakingly gorgeous song. Mm-hmm. And Mary's vocal on it is beautiful. She brought... I forget why, Brenda Sutton, who's another mutual friend of ours, mm-hmm, was in town, and Mary actually asked me to record Brenda singing the song just for an alternate version. So I did. And then when Mary heard it, she said, oh, we've got to get some of this on the album. So, and there are two characters singing. So we had Brenda sing the part of Jazz. And so that's really the contrast between their voices, and then the beautiful harmonies that Maya and another friend of ours named Vixie Dockery did on it. There's cello on it, and then the the sort of cherry on top of the whole thing is I've got a friend who lives here in the Bay Area who is just an amazing sax player, reed player. And he did a sax solo on it that just melts me every time I hear it. Pandora plays her music. Whole thing just, you know, it was just a combination of great musicians, you know, and I had never done a song that had, you know, where I had to mix cello and saxophone and, you know,
that's a bit of a challenge.
finding a spot for everything and sort of creating a soundscape, you know, that accommodated all of that was a fun challenge. Yeah.
So, I mean, unless if there's another album that you want to mention, any other?
I'll mention, you know, I don't want to mention any particular album, but another artist I've worked with a lot. I'm actually working on my, fourth album with her now. The cello player I was talking about who played on Mary's album, named Betsy Tinney.
Okay.
And Betsy, she does really interesting, like, multi-track cello stuff. And at this point, she's got a recording set up. She lives up in Seattle. The first album I did with her, she came down here and I recorded her and then, you know, and then I mixed it. And now she records herself and then just sends me tracks. So my role is really just mix engineer on the subsequent albums. But those are always really fun to work on. Another gaming album with Scott Snyder.
Oh, okay. Yes, Scott. Yeah.
Which was a really fun album to work on.
Sure.
Scott's also a recording engineer. And I have to admit that when he approached me, I was kind of going, is this going to be like two cooks in the kitchen fighting over the engineering?
Yeah.
But it wasn't at all. I mean,
oh, good.
Scott offered, you know, of course, opinions, but it was never sort of like, oh, let me take over. And, you know, he hired me to do it and he just let me do my job. So it was a lot of fun and the songs were tons of fun, really great. And he's a really great musician. So that was a lot of fun. I don't want to leave anybody out because I honestly, everybody I work with is great. Steve McDonald and Katie Droy.
Oh, of course. McDonald, yes.
They have a group called Teutonic. I did an album with them that was really fun. And there's some things on that that are...
Voice. Oh.
Yeah, Katie's. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And I always felt like Katie had been on some other recordings that I did not feel had really done justice to her voice. And that was... Mm-hmm. I was really excited to be able to let people really hear what Katie can do. Great songs on that album, and Steve too. He's amazing. So
wonderful.
Two of them together are great.
Yeah. So when you're helping someone put an album together like that, what is your ultimate goal? You know, what are you hoping to accomplish with it?
Well, I mean, the first thing is always to please them.
Sure.
The pool of people that I tend to work with are from the folk music community. And I don't know if you've gotten into that at all in your show.
People have asked me on other shows what that is. I will explain, but you can explain. I'd love to hear your definition.
I don't, Honestly, I'm not sure what, you know, it's a community of people at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it's no particular style of music. But one of the things I think it's fair to say is that, you know, when I came in and I came into the folk music community around the time I started getting into recording, it was really the same year, 1995.
Okay. Yeah. It was 94 time, for me, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. A while back.
So
on opposite coasts.
Right. Yeah. Most of the recordings at the time, I think it would be fair to say, were pretty, pretty rough and ready.
Yeah.
And
live recordings from living rooms.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly. And I always just try to approach it that, you know, this may be, you know, and I do tend to work with the more, you know, sort of the more professional level musicians in the folk community. But whatever style of music the or what the songs are about or whatever, I always just try to approach it from the point of view of I'm going to do this, you know, approach this in the same way I would if I was doing a major label artist. Not that mm-hmm. anybody's asking me to do any major label
you
artist
never know.
Recordings, but you know, but you know, essentially what I'm always trying to do, and it's an aspirational goal. I'm certainly not saying I'm there, but is to, you know, treat the production and, you know, the recording as seriously as if it was going to be heard by, you know, millions of people rather than, you know, probably the, you know, hundreds to thousands of people that most of these recordings actually reach.
Yeah. From here, you know, I kind of want to get a little philosophical with you. I hope you're okay with that. But
sure.
I wanted to ask you why you think sound and maybe music in particular is important in our lives.
Oh, boy. You know,
it's
don't
a big
know
question,
why.
I know.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm qualified to the why. I think it probably, you know, to some extent has to do with evolution and, mm-hmm. you know, that, you know, sound is, you know, provides a lot of important cues about our environment. You know, it's very clear that sound has a way of, you know, transporting us. And I think, you know, I think you and I are both of an age where it's now like, you know, songs that we loved when we were kids will like take us back.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know,
a
to that era.
Thing. Yeah.
You know, now that, you know, we baby boomers are all getting, you know, on in years, right? All of the commercials for medicines are using, you know, all the songs that we
I'm
grew
Gen
up
X.
With, right? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm totally a boomer. So, you know, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's
the commercials alone.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that's just a sure sign. But, you know, even like when you think about, like, you know, again, talking about movies, right? If you take the, you know, Foley work and the soundtrack out of a movie and just show, you know, the film with just the dialogue, even a great movie, it completely falls emotionally flat, right? It's mm-hmm. you know, I've always felt like if George Lucas had not hired John Williams to do the score for Star Wars, it would probably be a little remembered, you know, B-grade science fiction movie that hardly anybody would even, you know, the music kind of glosses over some of the, you know, kind of, you know, tropey, pulpy shortcomings, you know, of the script.
Yes.
And, you know,
sure.
Right. I mean, because the music is just majestic. Yeah. It's amazing. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I've heard George Lucas in interviews, you know, pretty much acknowledge that when, you know, he first saw a cut of the film with the score, it was like, oh, wow, we have something here.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. So, I mean, sound in movies and, you know, even, you know, a visual medium like movies and so on is really important. So I just think the human brain is just wired to respond to sound. You know, I think it's
so
a product
true.
Of, you know, where we came from originally. And, yeah.
Hits us right in the heart. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's very important. Well, I mean, that's kind of why I have this podcast in the first place. Something sure. to talk about. Yeah.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers, and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that too. Now, back to the podcast.
So what are you working on now that you can talk about?
So yeah, Maya and I are working on a couple of things that I don't know what's going to see the light of day, but I've been experimenting.
It's always worth trying.
Yeah, no, really. I mean, that's one of the nice things about having my own studio is I can afford to just, experiment. I've actually lately been kind of, getting back to my kind of prog rock roots a little bit. So we're working on some music that's kind of a little heavier and a little more, prog-ish than, the stuff we've released before, which is kind of where I came from. And I don't know if we're going to release it or not. Right now I'm just having fun playing with it. Getting ready. I don't want to say who it is because I know that they're going to do a Kickstarter and so on, but some people that I know have approached me and actually another engineer in the Bay Area to kind of split a project with them. So that's going to get rolling this spring, I think.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about that one. I'm pretty sure I know which one you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I don't want to.
I won't say who. Yes. No.
And I haven't asked them whether it's okay whether I talk about it, but I'm going to assume that
it's fine.
Right. And I'm in the middle. I'm working with Betsy on mixing another album of cello music.
Nice.
That, I don't know. I think we've got, maybe 6 or 7 songs done. I mean, she's basically sending me, we both work in the same, use the same DAW software. So she just sends me projects and with her tracks in them and her kind of rough mix. And then I take it from there. So, been working on that. I'm not sure when that's going to come out. Neither one of us seems to be in a huge hurry to finish it. It's just sort of we.
That's always nice.
We're working steadily on it, so it'll come when it comes.
Take your time.
Yeah, and that's about it right now. I just finished a really fun project called Bridge, which is actually there's a performer in the Filk community named Kathy Marr, who has a gorgeous voice and great songwriter. And she had the idea to put together an album of songs to kind of try to show how music can kind of cut through some of the polarization in society. So she wanted songs basically about the things that bring us all together. And she actually approached me, I think it was 2017, about producing this, and we got started on it. And then this thing happened that you may have heard of, this pandemic thing
little thing that delayed everything by 3 years.
So it kind of stalled us. I wasn't able to, but basically we solicited songs from a ton of basically submissions from a bunch of songwriters. And then we chose the ones we wanted to use. And then in some cases had the person who wrote the song sing it. In other cases, we brought in other singers. So it was a, and I produced the music. and used a lot of, you know, the people I've worked with before to also help provide instrumental tracks. So it was a very long, involved process, but it's got some great performers on it. It's got songs by Talis Kimberly, Tim Griffin, Kat Faber, Christoph and Margaret here in the Bay Area, a bunch of other people. We're not able to get Talis to come sing her song, so I brought Heather Dale in.
Oh, yeah, that'll do.
It will do. Well, it's really kind of funny because, you know, I had been talking in before the pandemic, you know, mm-hmm. had chosen this song. It's a really beautiful song of Talis's called Close the Gate. Mm-hmm. And the plan had been for Talis to fly out here and record the vocal for it. Then the pandemic happened. And then when things started to ease up, Talis just decided that she still really wasn't up for traveling.
It's a long way for her to come, too.
Yeah, it's a long way to come. So Maya and I, actually the first convention we went to after the pandemic was a convention in Georgia, usually held every January, called Gefilk. And we went last January, and Heather and Ben were the guests at the convention, so mm-hmm. had a chance to talk with them during the we were seated with them at the banquet where this obscure jazz band called Play It With Moxie was performing.
Obscure. Yeah, yes. For those of you who are not aware, Play It With Moxie is a band that I am in, jazz swing band. There's 9 of us, I think, or something like that around.
And we play. They're really good.
Thank you. We play that banquet every year that this convention happens. Mm-hmm. And Mary Kroll is our band mm-hmm. leader. So right. I see her every year. We do this performance every year. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So there's so it happens at this convention, and there's a banquet, and the band is the entertainment while people eat their food. And so Maya and I ended up at the same table with Ben and Heather, and so we're talking with them. And on the plane home, I was, I just heard from Talis that she couldn't make it back. And I was going, who can I get to sing that song? And then it's like in the middle of the plane flight back here to the Bay Area, it's like, oh, idiot, Heather Dale, you just, so I called Heather or emailed Heather, pretty much as soon as we got back, and she, thinking, well, she may not be interested in coming here. And she's like immediately, oh yeah, let's do it. And so she flew out here and spent several days and actually ended up singing 2 songs on the album, and it was lots of fun. So
close the gates upon the yard, the empty lambing pen, and send the sheep upon their way to pasture once again. The land remains, the land endures, the land remembers all.
It's a really great album of great collection of songs from a diverse group of people with lots of different singers and performers. And so that's the latest thing that I've been involved with, that's finished anyway.
Wonderful. I look forward to hearing it too. Yeah. And so if anyone wants to reach out to get in touch with you, how would they be able to do that?
Jeff@mysticfig.com.
I love that. Mystic
Fig. Mystic Fig Studio.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Jeff. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.